Day 31. Deuteronomy 31 30-32, Deuteronomy 130 NKJV. Then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Deuteronomy 32 1-47. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. They have corrupted themselves, they are not his children because of their blemish, a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus deal with the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father who bought you? Has he not made you and established you? Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you, your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob is the place of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste land, a howling wilderness. He encircled him, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings, so the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign God with him. He made him ride in the heights of the earth, that he might eat the produce of the fields. He made him draw honey from the rock, and oil from the flinty rock, curds from the cattle, and milk of the flock. With fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the choicest wheat, and you drank wine, the blood of the grapes. Ud-Jeshurun grew fat and kicked, you grew fat, you grew thick, you are obese. Then he forsook God who made him, and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods, with abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons, not to God, to gods they did not know, to new gods, new arrivals that your fathers did not fear. Of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful, and have forgotten the God who fathered you. And when the Lord saw it, he spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them, I will see what their end will be, for they are a perverse generation, children in whom is no faith. They have provoked me to jealousy by what is not God, they have moved me to anger by their foolish idols. But I will provoke them to jealousy by those who are not a nation, I will move them to anger by a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger, and shall burn to the lowest hell, it shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap disasters on them, I will spend my arrows on them, they shall be wasted with hunger, devoured by pestilence and bitter destruction. I will also send against them the teeth of beasts with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword shall destroy outside, there shall be terror within for the young man and virgin, the nursing child with the man of gray hairs. I would have said, I will dash them in pieces, I will make the memory of them to cease from among men, had I not feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should misunderstand, lest they should say, our hand is high, and it is not the Lord who has done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel, nor is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How could one chase 1,000, and two put 10,000 to flight, unless their rock had sold them, and the Lord had surrendered them? For their rock is not like our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom, and of the fields of Gomorrah, their grapes are grapes of gall, their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of serpents and the cruel venom of cobras. Is this not laid up in store with me, sealed up among my treasures? Vengeance is mine, and recompense, their foot shall slip in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things to come hasten upon them. For the Lord will judge his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees that their power is gone, and there is no one remaining, bond or free. He will say, where are their gods, the rock in which they sought refuge, who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise and help you and be your refuge. Now see that I, even I, am he, and there is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal, nor is there any who can deliver from my hand. For I raise my hand to heaven and say, as I live forever, if I whet my glittering sword, and my hand takes hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies, and repay those who hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, with the blood of the slain and the captives, from the heads of the leaders of the enemy. Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people, For he will avenge the blood of his servants, and render vengeance to his adversaries, he will provide atonement for his land and his people. So Moses came with Joshua the son of Nun, and spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people. Moses finished speaking all these words to all Israel, and he said to them, Set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe, all the words of this law. For it is not a futile thing for you, because it is your life, and by this word you shall prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. UCG Bible Commentary, Deuteronomy 31:30-32, The Song of Moses, a new song of Moses. As we read in Deuteronomy 31, God told Moses to record a song that would foretell the Israelites' future rebellion and thus serve as a witness against them, as they were to be taught it so as not to forget it, verses 19:21-22. The lyrics of this Song of Moses, which was to be a national anthem of sorts for ancient Israel, are recorded in Deuteronomy 32. By including them in the pages of the Bible, God made certain that they would indeed not be forgotten. This Song of Moses should not be confused with the other Song of Moses recorded in Exodus 15. Verse 4 is the first place in Scripture where God is called the Rock. This name is repeated four more times in this chapter. In the song in Deuteronomy, Israel is called Jeshurun, a pet name for Israel meaning uprightness. However, God foretells through Moses that the Israelites would corrupt themselves so much that they would cease temporarily to be his children, Deuteronomy 32:5. They had already sacrificed to demons and would do so again. Verse 17, compare Amos 5:25-26, 1 Corinthians 10:20. But God was still their father by virtue of creating them both as human beings and as a nation, Deuteronomy 32:6, so they should behave in a way worthy of being the offspring of God. Indeed, at the time of Adam, God actually predetermined the inheritances of all nations and set their boundaries according to the number of the children of Israel. Verse 8. This shows that God had foreordained not only the existence of Israel, but even its population size at least as far back as man's creation. Verses 11-12 contain some interesting imagery, as an eagle hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. Here, God's protection of his people is compared to that of an eagle caring for its young. Those who have studied the behavioral patterns of eagles have confirmed the description given in these verses. The golden eagle makes its nest high up in the massive rocks of the mountains of Sinai. When the young eagles think they are ready to fly, they jump out of the nest and spread their wings. But many times, during these first attempts, the young birds are not yet able to fly, they are too excited, and don't spread their wings correctly or not at all. And so they hurl down like a person jumping out of an airplane with a parachute that does not open. But the parents are on the alert. The mother, which is bigger than the father, glides under the child, catches it, and carries it to a place of safety. This scenario repeats itself two or three times, until the young bird has learned how to stretch its wings and fly. In light of scriptures like verses 11-12 and Exodus 19:3-4, the passage in Revelation 12:14, the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, might simply be describing God's supernatural intervention in directing his people to a place of refuge, rather than referring to any specific physical means of getting them there, such as some have theorized, modern aircraft. God certainly did not use aircraft to transport ancient Israel. Verse 15 is one of several statements in Deuteronomy that when Israel becomes well off materially, they will forsake God. This corresponds to an observation attributed to Martin Luther: a full stomach does not promote piety, for it stands secure and neglects God. This is certainly true of ancient Israel's descendants today, as we see them living at a higher standard of living than any nation has ever experienced, yet increasingly smug, self-satisfied, and unthankful.